Hey, glad you can make it. And welcome to the Employee Cycle Podcast, where we talk to HR innovators, thought leaders, and even some disruptors about the latest in HR trends, HR tech, and you guessed it, HR data. Well, you've heard enough of me talking. Now let's start the show.
Thank you so much for listening to the Employee Cycle Podcast. We're so excited that you're here to learn from some of the smartest and experienced and interesting HR and people leaders in the space. So today, I am so happy to announce that we're going to be talking to a very, very, very interesting and experienced HR leader in the space. And she's going to be helping us understand how she actually helped her team lead through COVID. So please help me introduce Priyanka Gupta from Amplitude to the podcast. Welcome, Priyanka.
Woo! Priyanka!
Thank you for having me here.
Thank you. So the way that we kick this show off is always by asking you, how did you end up in the wonderful world of HR?
Well, that was serendipity. I grew up in India, and back then, if you're a smart kid, if you have good grades, which I did, you either become an engineer or a doctor. I didn't want to be either, but my dad sent me to engineering. And 4 years into engineering, I realized I don't like it. That's when I took the decision to pursue a master's. And there it was an elimination logic. Can't do marketing, can't do finance, let's do HR. At that time, my hypothesis was being an engineer will help me maintain a balance between tangibles and intangibles. In the HR world, reality is when you're doing your MBA, you don't know what HR stands for. You don't really know what you do 10 or 15 years out. So just serendipity and hypothesis led me to HR, and I can't be more thankful for it.
Awesome. So I want to ask a couple questions about your company so people understand a little bit more about, you know, what you do and how you get some context around what you were doing during this process. So where's your company based?
We're based in San Francisco, but we have offices across US as well as Europe and Asia.
Okay. And what is your current headcount? And did that change before pre-COVID?
I would say we did relook at our headcount pre and post-COVID. It hasn't changed dramatically. We're still growing. We're approximately 350 plus globally.
Got it. And even though you have multiple locations around the world, were they all in offices or did you have people working remotely?
Predominantly, we had in-office team members. Very few Amplitudeers were working remotely.
Got it. So today we're talking about how to lead your workforce through COVID. So I want to give a timestamp. Today is June 19th. Happy Juneteenth for everyone listening. And I want to talk about quickly, what state of mind and state of the workforce were you in the eye of the storm during COVID when things were crazy and people were really trying to figure things out? And then where are you now? What does your workforce look like? What is the temperature of your workforce now in comparison to then?
That's a great question. I would say back in March when the reality of COVID was hitting and San Francisco announced shelter in place much sooner than New York, we got in early into the curve where we announced all teams, all offices will start working remote, I think first week of March. At that time, just like the entire world, we were in a bit of a reactive state because information was pouring down by every minute or every millisecond. As soon as we pivoted to working remote, a very well-thought-through strategy came together, which had a few legs to it. The first was, how do you manage teams that are remote? How do you manage yourself when you're remote? Simple topics like, what are Zoom etiquette? What are Slack etiquettes? How do I balance out family hours and work time? There are people who have kids. There are people who have family and they have to take care of elderly parents. So how do you balance personal responsibilities as well as work? So initial few weeks were spent in helping the organization strike a balance, helping the organization understand how to work remote. We had quite a few sessions from folks who've been working remote for a while to share how do they manage their work schedule. And then we pivoted a few of our policies we recycled or we reused a few of our stipends to make sure that amputees feel supported. Because when you're working from home, you don't think about buying a desk or a chair or any equipment that you might need. We also started to almost celebrate working from home. We announced a staycation channel and hey, post your photos, do take time off, even if you're working from home. And then on May 15th, we announced an unplugged day, saying that we know that we're all shelter in place, we all have lockdown order, but we still want you to unplug, because working from home, being on Zoom all day can still get to you, can still cause fatigue. So I would say we approached, we're still approaching the environment or the uncertainty that we are facing from multiple perspectives. At the core of it is ensuring that the organization feels supported, leading, I think, with psychological safety.
That was awesome. And I have some questions about some of that. So first, and you know, maybe I might even need some of this, what does Zoom etiquette look like? I'm so curious, as I've seen so many at the beginning of this, when people were really trying to figure out what was going on, it was so interesting to look at the news and see so many people on different news stations and online videos and seminars teaching people how to be on Zoom and how to be appropriate. So I'm curious, what did that look like for your company?
It is actually really simple. Simple reminder that keep your video on, make sure that you are in a space where you can speak or talk. Make sure that you respect as well as you feel respected, even while working from the comforts of your home. So it was really simple. And to me, I've been working remote for a while. Working remote or dialing into Zoom meetings, it almost just boils down to trusting or just holding that space, even though you are remote and you can't see each other physically. But yeah, etiquettes are quite simple and straightforward.
And then what about Slack etiquette? What did that look like?
That was also pretty straightforward, that we consolidated a few channels, but it was a very simple message that make sure you, if somebody has a pause or a do not disturb, respect that. Make sure you only post or respect working hours that the person might have posted on Slack or might have showed on Slack. If a person is in a meeting, make sure you respect that. So, and maybe working remote, you might have hours dedicated to family time, to work time. Make sure you are respecting that on the calendar while slacking, or maybe take a pause on expecting an immediate response from the person. So again, very simple reminders.
Interesting. When I think about Slack etiquette, I think about the relationship between employees and managers and how some employees might feel the need to show that they're working by just going on Slack and saying something just to show that they're present, because they don't want their manager or people at their company to feel like they're not working. So was there any specific etiquette training and conversations for your management team on Slack in regards to how to give people space to breathe and how to not make it so that they feel forced to be performative and do things just to show that they're working or that they're engaged?
That's a great question. And there, the reality is that the way culture is an amplitude that came pretty naturally. Leaders led with a conversation on respect. Leaders led with a conversation or a dialogue on psychological safety. We led with the message that we are here for you, that we're all in this together. So that came pretty naturally to the organization, that how do you hold a space, given that it's a tough time. So for example, you're starting a meeting. Pre-COVID, you start a meeting, maybe discuss weather, discuss how was the weekend. And in the current COVID world, maybe you would discuss how are you feeling, how was your week, how was your, in what state of mind you are. So that came quite naturally. That combined with a few reminders on working from home principles, I think we are in a pretty good place.
Got it. So in regards to measuring engagement and productivity while employees are working remotely, how did you look at that?
Again, in that, because it was a very, every functional leader, every leadership team member, as we call them in Amplitude, really took charge and took ownership of making sure their teams are feeling safe through team meetings, through skip one-on-ones. We also conducted surveys to gauge a response from the organization on what else should we be doing as a part of managing COVID-19 and the impact on us. And those surveys pointed us in a few directions. One of the surveys alluded to, we need more information on how will you manage leave of absence. Let's say if I get COVID-19, what kind of leaves can I avail? But overall, the survey feedback was very positive, stating that, executive summary being that they were very appreciative, the organization was very appreciative of how Amplitude managed the pivot.
And how often were you sending out these surveys?
So far, we have done one survey, and we are planning another survey launch soon.
And were these surveys more of the traditional engagement surveys, or were these surveys also including or specifically directed towards remote from work or remote work surveys?
Sure. In addition to our employee engagement surveys and pulse surveys, this was a separate survey focused only on COVID.
Oh, got it. Interesting. Okay. So today is June 19th, and I know here in Philadelphia, I believe next Friday, the 26th, we are moving to a place where we're going to be in the green, which I believe almost everything will be totally open. And so based off of where your employees are located, and especially thinking about this internationally, how are you currently thinking about moving forward with potentially going back to the office and helping the workforce to continue navigate through the uncertainty?
In that solution also, we are leading with safety first, where we are saying that so far we don't see the offices opening up before October 1st at the minimum. And we will follow government guidelines and we'll wait at least a month after government in respective cities and respective countries announce opening before we can take a call. What is important for us is that we take a location-specific approach because, as you can imagine, every location within US, outside of US, is taking a different approach based on their COVID-19 realities. So we're taking a very regional approach, at the same time continuously assuring the organization that even when we open, we will prioritize essential staff. We will make sure that if you don't feel comfortable coming in to work, yet you can have an open conversation. You have channels to express your concerns.
So I would imagine that that could potentially be a communication challenge as well, as you're giving guidance and communicating across your entire org. But at the same time, there's very specific communication that needs to happen based off of where people are located. Was that a challenge for you?
For that, what we did was we put together, so we have a core COVID-19 task force. And what this task force does is stays in touch with different regional offices, does a pulse check-in along with, in addition to the surveys, does check-ins with regional leads to understand the temperature of that location. We take that into account before taking any call or any decision on that look on that office. So far it's been quite smooth.
Awesome. And then the last question that I want to ask is, as a people leader, what are the skills that you believe you had to bring to the table that were already skilled, the skills that you already had just being an HR leader that you've had over the years, or new skills that you believe you had to develop in order to really help your workforce move forward?
Sure. I would say that being in the HR world, and I'm sure you can relate to this, we all lead with empathy as well as resilience. Being in the people team is, I think, is a fine balance of these two characteristics or competencies, as we can call them. What 2020 has done is it's just taken this to a whole new level that, A, are you able to manage yourself first? And then are you able to think 10 steps ahead of what is coming down in the uncertain period? So I would say it's a challenging yet a leadership opportunity for people orgs all across to help the organizations, to help their own company navigate a complex people and culture landscape.
Priyanka, thank you so much for being such an awesome, awesome podcast guest. Woo! Priyanka! So, where can people find you and your company online?
Sure. I'm pretty active on LinkedIn, so feel free to look for Priyanka Gupta Amplitude, and I'd be happy to connect with you there.
Great. And I'll be sure to leave all that information in our show notes. So all you listeners out there, we hope that you enjoyed this podcast as much as we enjoy making it. If you did, please leave us a 5-star rating because that shows that you care and that we're providing great content. Also, if this is the first episode that you've ever listened to and you were checking it out because you're already a super fan of Priyanka, but you want more awesome podcast interviews to listen to, then please subscribe to the Employee Psycho Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever else you listen to podcasts. And please remember, HR and people leaders, to hire, train, and retain the best workforce possible. Thanks. Later, kids.